You don't have to be like Malcolm and spend hours and hours searching for that one special thing that you're looking for when you shop at Amazon.com. Support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping using our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with another excellent Survivor Karamoan exit interview for you this morning. And today, the man of the hour that we're going to be speaking with is Malcolm Freeburg. And boy, I have to say, in the history of Rob as a podcast, going all the way back to Survivor Nicaragua, since we've been doing these exit interviews, I can't think of a bigger fan favorite, at least from my unofficial opinion of watching Twitter. I don't think there's been a bigger favorite of the people watching the show, at least on social media, to go out of the game. So I think this is going to be a very anticipated interview this morning here with Malcolm, who really had been trying to basically do the impossible and trying to run the table here over these last 5 or 6 weeks of Survivor Karamoan. So we're going to talk with Malcolm. Had a great show with Stephen Fishback last night. Really having fun doing the Survivor Know-It-Alls. And of course, you can listen to the podcast the same way you're listening to this podcast, or you could watch the videos on our YouTube channel and see the whole show. And had a great conversation with Stephen Fishback. Tried to figure out exactly where things went wrong for Malcolm. And really, we didn't fault him too much for the events of last night. But always a interesting conversation with Stephen about what happened on the episode. And then also later today, I'll be doing a full recap of the episode with the one and only Jonathan Penner, who returns to Rob as a Podcast, who also played with Malcolm last season and also played with Eric Reichenbach. So we can ask him about what he thinks about bros and all sorts of things like that. But I know why you're here. Let's get into it. I have Malcolm on the line. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Malcolm, are you there?
I'm very disappointed you didn't call me Mal just now. I want you to know that.
I'll call you Malk if you want.
I'll just play.
Anyway, Malk, just us bro to bro this morning, and want to talk about everything that's been going on. You got voted out last night. You've made the internet cry.
I didn't mean to do that to the internet, and I do apologize. I meant to be there much longer.
All right. Well, Malcolm, I thought you did a great job this season, really in a tough spot, especially these last couple of weeks, and you kept it going probably far longer than anybody could have expected you to.
Oh, I appreciate your kind eulogy there. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it, and let's start here with the question that everybody is asking this morning. I'm sure you've probably got it a bunch of times already. What happened with Andrea staking you out? How long did she stand there? Was there any way you could have gone back, or why did you even care if she was watching you?
Oh, she probably stood there for... That little standoff probably went for 20 minutes, half hour. It wasn't, like, hours or anything like that. How great would it have been if they, like, flashed out, like, a lapse time thing like they do on endurance challenges on the bottom? Just thought of that. But it wasn't that long. And I'd been looking for – I was at the point where I was despairing finding the idol because I'd been looking for a long time before that actually happened. And just, like, I'd been dug under every damn tree on the left side of the whatever the note said. And couldn't find the thing. So when she showed up, it was kind of like, well, we just kind of farted around for a little bit. It was annoying, but we were also laughing.
So did you ever go back and look again after that moment when Andrea was there?
So what happened was, and I think somebody said that they put it as like the secret scene on the website. I went back and I shoved the old, my old wrappings from the last idol in my pocket, and Andrea and I think Brenda were like digging around like all my old holes, and I acted like I dug it up, like I dug up an idol. So I kind of like faked that I found it in front of them and then just left. And the idea was that if you can't, I don't actually have it, I should act like I have it. So I give them to split a vote, and then I only need one person to flip. So I did go, I kind of bluffed that I had it. It became a theme after the past few episodes.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about with talking about trying to get somebody to flip? You guys were working on Eric and Sherry. Now, it seemed like for the last couple of episodes, you guys have been trying to work on Eric and Sherry, and you guys always seemed confident that you were going to be able to do it. But at the end of the day, they never seemed to, except for Eric last week when he finally voted for Philip, they were never actually voting with you guys. Why did you feel so confident that they were going to flip this time?
I mean, Eric, I don't think I came off sounding confident about Eric a few times. I never was. Like, he had no idea where his head was. He was just, like, out there hanging out. He went swimming occasionally. And then people would point at the flag where he was supposed to vote. So I didn't know what the hell was going on with Eric. But with Sherry this time, Sherry was very, very close to Philip. That's how she'd been playing it since the merge. Which is kiss Philip's, you know, big, you know, saggy pink underwear ass. And try like work her way in the, you know, the majority alliance, which won't be named. And so getting rid of Philip was part of like the subplot there, was to sever Sherry. Like the first, as soon as we got back, I started talking to Sherry that night, trying to work her over. And, you know, in the end, I'm sure she did what she did for, I'm sure she has a strategic justification, but I didn't know how horrible she hated Reynolds and Eddie from the beginning on the fans tribe. I had no way of knowing about that, and I don't think she ever would have gone along with those two, just out of spite.
Yeah. No, I was impressed that they even got that close, because I would have never thought from watching the first couple episodes that there would even be a possibility. So you are a uniter, Malcolm.
I bring people together.
Yeah. All right. So last week, so much stuff about this. You made the internet cry last night. You almost broke the internet last week. We never had so many comments about a move, whether some people said you were a genius, some people said it was a horrible move. So let's just go through that from last week. So what we didn't find out was how much discussion was there before Tribal Council about the big move with giving the two idols away. Did the other two bros know that you were going to do that?
They knew. I found that new idol probably 45 minutes before Tribal. There wasn't a whole lot of time. And so you see Andrea and Dawn sprint off the tug, but I ran and grabbed Reynolds and Eddie and pulled him out in the woods. And I show, and this is when I finally, this is the first time Reynolds knows that I've had an idol after stealing the child before that. So that was a fun little conversation.
Was he pissed?
But I told, like, pardon?
Was Reynolds pissed?
I took it okay. I think there was a moment, but, like, I was bringing, like, such good tidings along with that little, like, devilish secret that I think it kind of balanced itself out. So we had to scramble, and, like, we were trying to throw out every idea, and as much as I love Reynolds and Eddie, like, the ideas they were coming up with were not. Sorry, guys.
I can imagine.
No. So I really, like, with so little time and, like, trying to come up with everything, all that move was, if you, like, really break it down, was the move where I did in the Philippines where I bluffed and then didn't play the idol and Jeff Kent went home. That was the idea. I didn't want to play either idol. The idea was put them on, create some smoke, create some chaos, a little bit of drama, and then get away without having to play either one. I probably wouldn't have had to tackle Eddie to get the necklace off of him, but that was the idea. And then Eric, of all people, had to go and call it out. And then once he said it, I'm like, damn, that was worst case scenario.
Okay, but he ended up voting with you guys, though.
I'm not claiming that worked. That was worst case scenario, what happened, having to play both of them to get rid of Philip.
Now, did you think at all about just playing your own idol and then having another idol to play this week? I mean, you would have lasted longer in the game if you would have kept both of the idols and been more selfish, Malcolm.
Well, I think I've shown myself to be plenty selfish when it comes to idols over the past couple seasons. But it'd be just like limping to my death. There's no way to shift the game by just limping along and surviving at this point. If I was going to get to the end and win, I needed a fundamental shift in the dynamics of, like, what was going on. And I saw, like, just taking a rocket launcher to stealth our nonsense's plan, like, as the best way to do that. Now, again, it didn't work anyway. I thought it would work. But the idea was, like, even if it's worst case and we just have to double idle Philip out, hopefully that's enough of a fundamental shift to get me in a more solid position than just limping around playing idols every week.
One of the ideas that a lot of people talked about, and again, I've said many times, a lot easier to come up with ideas when you're sitting on the couch with a bag of chips than to be on the island, was the idea of saying, hey, we're all safe tonight. You guys figure it out. And not to give them the option to vote out Philip. Was that ever talked about, that maybe could stealth R us, stealth destruct in front of everybody?
I think that the whole, and we're kind of like circling around, declaring, instead of declaring voting for Philip, that we were voting for Philip. And it was really Yeah, what you're saying is probably the way it should have gone. That is probably the way it should have been played. It's not even a defense. I'm admitting that that's the way it should have gone. But what I thought was, I didn't expect that level of chaos when we pulled out the idols. Playing with those guys, especially, I would say, Cox and Andrea, for so long, like, we had, when I was with them, like, there was, we had every umpteenth scenario of, like, every possible permutation of any strategy anybody could throw out there planned for. We had, like, it was insane how, like, much they thought through this stuff. So I absolutely thought that they would have a plan in place. I really thought that everyone would just unite against Cherry. That was like what I expected to happen. They'd all look at each other, kind of nod, shake their shoulders, like, yeah, we're going to vote for Cherry. And I thought I was going to have to pull this total coup to get, like, try to swing people to Philip. Because Cherry goes home, then we haven't accomplished anything. We just, like, and we're just, you know, maybe we get to keep him, which was the goal. But, yeah, looking back on it, calling out Philip was probably a mistake, but I didn't anticipate that level of chaos. I just didn't realize that it was going to be that big of a bomb on him.
Okay, so playing this season, you came in as an outsider. All the other favorites, at least to some degree, knew each other. How were you treated early on in the game as the only person who nobody knew who you were?
Very, very cautiously. I got along with Corinne really quick because she had that same sort of outsider mentality to her. Like, people didn't really know what to make of her. Just not part of, you know, that, I guess, whatever Survivor clique. So we got along, and we managed to figure out where the majority was going to vote on that first vote for Fran, and I just weaseled my way in, and I got myself into the majority. But, you know, even like Sam, like all the days that we're just sitting around the favorite speech, I was never involved in the conversations. I was told what to do instead of having conversations about what we were going to do. So I was in, but I was you know, just on the bottom of it. So I think I was liked, and everyone got along, and we had a very good time on the surface. But I was never really taken, you know, seriously, or never really, you know, trusted enough to be given the full plan. I was just told at the last minute, and that's what led to me, you know, being so anxious to jump ship.
Okay, so we got a few more minutes with Malcolm. We got a bunch of questions that let's try to do them a little bit rapid fire.
Lightning round.
Okay, but I got a lot of them, so here we go. So how about, what is with this guy, Eddie? Why does he not buy the advantage in the immunity challenge? He's saving his money for peanut butter.
You're talking about a guy who can't understand why cute girls are getting voted off. Next question.
Yeah. All right. How come in all of these permutations, we're talking about Cherry, we're talking about Eric, how come there was never a mention of you guys working with Brenda or trying to bring Brenda over?
Brenda found herself on the wrong side of that first vote, and the entire, for a month now, all she's been doing is working her way into, you know, stealth our nonsenses, like, you know, core group of people. So she was, as much as, like, you know, the internet chatters, where's Brenda? She's just playing a very, you know, social game, like just kissing everybody's butt. Philip was one of the big ones, but also Andrea and Don.
Okay. So how is this game different if a couple of weeks ago, Corinne doesn't end up talking to Don about the plan?
We still weren't going to be foolproof, but we've got to get tricky. And, like, there's still, like, some moves that need to be made, but it's a complete 180 from what we're seeing.
What was your reaction when you found out that Philip wanted to split the votes and Corinne is arguing against splitting the votes there?
I wanted to drive immediately to Corinne's house and drop kick her in the face.
Right.
I had no idea that happened. I had no idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of things you had no idea about, did you know that the reason the famous Hold Up Bro incident ended up being a bust was because Eddie blabbed the plan to Andrea?
I found out, getting information out of Eddie is no, you know, trivial task. I worked those two for days trying to figure out what happened, because I thought we were foolproof, and eventually got out. I was like, well, yeah, I talked to Andrea, and I might have mentioned we were voting for her. And again, drop kick to the face. With allies like this, who needs enemies? Come on, guys. Like, goodness gracious.
Okay, so how about the idea of a bro alliance? Is the idea of a alliance of all bros, do you still think, is this a good idea, or is this something that just fundamentally can never work on Survivor?
I mean, if you define bro as Eddie, then it's not going to work. But if you define bro as, like, like just guys doing it, like on all guys? I mean, it works for girls. Why can't it work for guys? Is there something like fundamentally different with, since we don't have like a Y chromosome? I don't know.
No, but I think so though.
I thought it could work.
I think why it does work for women, it's because the women can say together, hey, let's get rid of all of these big, strong guys so we all have an even shot at winning the challenges. And that's why I think it works for the women and they get into the whole girl power, whole sort of thing. But for guys, I think it's tough to recruit people to come and work with you because you guys say, hey, come be with us. And yeah, now I have no chance to ever win the challenges, even though Cochran's winning all the challenges.
But even then, like, we did have it, like, right at the merge time. Like, Snowy was totally on board, and, like, by necessity, and Corinne. And then, if we could have, like, swung Eric for just one vote, like, it's not a total bro alliance. Like, it's not going to be, like, a majority of, like, all, like, young, fit guys. But, like, we had it at one point. I thought I had it going into that vote where Corinne got booted off. So I see what you're saying, and it's probably, you're right, like, fundamentally it's more difficult probably to pull off, but I think it could work.
Now, physically, how messed up were you at the end of, you know, you've played in Survivor two times basically in 3 months at this point. How are you holding up physically at the end of this game?
Oh, such a wreck. Like, even watching it last night, just, like, looking at, like, my body, like, it's not, like, good, like, lean because you're starving. It's like I look like sickly, like starving, like, you know, those commercials where you're supposed to advert or send like a nickel a day to, you know, Kenya or something. I was like, it's horrible. And to this day, like, we're almost a year later, my muscle mass like still isn't back, like in my shoulders and my chest. Like, I've been working out, I just can't get it back.
I know, I hear you. So I hear you.
Wrecked. I just could not compete. Like, I was like, with like Reynolds and like all the other like big guys, like, I just wasn't at the same physical level.
All right, and how many beers did you have last night?
I was so good, Rob. Because I remember last time I had a beauty interview, I was in such terrible, terrible shape from having gone out hard the night before. I was very responsible last night. I only drank mildly heavily.
All right, and I think I know the answer to this question, but how open are you to a third Survivor appearance?
Hey, the million-dollar question. Ooh, I said that like as a cliche. I didn't even mean to be clever about it. Yeah. You know, if I'd won, it'd be like I might not consider, you know, going back, but having lost now twice, that fire is still there.
Yeah, why the hell not? Right. All right. Well, Malcolm, thank you so much for dealing with a lot of these nitpicks for things. You know, you did a great job on there. And hey, that's what we do on the internet with Survivor is we're going to nitpick everything. So thanks for, you know, stepping up to the plate, answering all these questions. And one of these days, maybe next season, we'll do a whole long podcast if you're up for it and talk about everything in greater detail.
Yeah, absolutely. And feel free to continue to nitpick everything and, you know, mock me in the future.
All right. Take care, Malcolm. Have a great one. Bye.
You as well.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was our buddy Malcolm Freeberg here on Rob Has a Podcast. And Malcolm in good spirits after going out of the game last night and ending a marathon sort of stretch of him being on Survivor back to back. All right, so we're just getting started. Unlike Malcolm, we are just getting started with Survivor for today, and we are going to speak with the one and only Jonathan Penner later on today. Very much looking forward to catching up with Penner. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about Malcolm. As always, I think Penner has a lot to say about everything. So we'll talk with Penner, and we are looking for your questions and comments about the episode, as always. So later on today on Facebook, if you go to facebook.com/RobHasAPodcast, I will post the thread with a picture of Jonathan Penner, and we're going to be looking for your comments and questions for Jonathan Penner. And of course, we are always eager to get your voicemails on the show, and there's two ways to do that. The preferred way is actually go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. Use the microphone on your computer. It's actually a better sound quality. Or you could do it from your phone if you're so inclined. Go to dial, 323-282-RHAP, 323-282-RHAP, and you could leave us a voicemail and we'll do those. And I believe we're going to have Nicole later on, so we will be taking your voicemails with Nicole. And also, if you have a voicemail for Penner, I've been able to the last couple of weeks. If you want to leave a voice question specifically for Penner, I can play those for the guests with this very fancy setup that we have over here at Rob Has a Podcast. And if you like what you heard today and want to help out the show, you can go to our iTunes page. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and comment that you are enjoying Rob Has a Podcast. And if you're not subscribed, you could do that there too. That helps us out in our iTunes rankings. So thank you guys very much. And week after week, Survivor Know-It-Alls has been showing up as the number one most downloaded show a couple days after it airs on iTunes. So thank you guys very much for helping us come to the top spot in the TV and film category. So always appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. Can't do it without you guys. So we'll be back later on today with a Penner cast. Rob has a Penner cast 3 later on today. Look forward to it. Talk to you guys later. Bye.